His goodness, His mercy, His love, go on and on. No complaints with Jesus Christ. And as you find in Psalms chapter 17, verse number 15, you see a familiar verse here. It says, "As for me," David praying, "I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." And King David here is praying, and he's looking forward to the day when he sees Jesus Christ face to face. And he holds on to this promise here, and that God has given to him. And he says these words here, and he says, "I will be satisfied." Now, as a Christian, we're satisfied. I believe David was as well. He was satisfied with Jesus Christ. He wouldn't find anything wrong with him either. But he said, there's something wrong still. And when I awake, that is in eternity, out in the millennium, or when he's resurrected, or wherever he comes into play in the millennium to fulfill his shepherd duties, he says, "I'm going to be satisfied when I'm in his likeness." And that's a pretty neat thing to think about when you wake up like him. I don't know what that will be like, but I know it'll be great. I try and think about what it would be like to wake up without just the things I wake up with every morning. It's just me. And that's what David's problem was. Go over to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And I believe we could all say we are completely satisfied with Jesus Christ. I don't have any complaints whatsoever. And if I did, they would be wrong, because there's nothing wrong with him. You couldn't find anything wrong with him. Those who do just don't know him. They manufacture those things in their mind. But look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 14. It says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." Let's stop there and pray. Heavenly Father, again, it's real good to be saved. And Lord, to know that, Lord, I'm like you in some parts right now. I am a son of God. I am joint heir with you. I am born of your spirit, and Lord, sealed and washed in your blood, and I really appreciate that. And I know we have this body still. We have this adoption that we have that down payment right now, but we haven't had it fulfilled. And someday we're going to see a difference in our bodies, in our minds, our hearts, and whatever else, Lord, that I don't think of, but Lord, we're going to be like you. And we'll look forward to that day. Pray that it even be tonight, that you could come back and we could be changed from that corruptible to incorruptible, and that mortal to immortal, and Lord, to be able to see you in your glory and holiness, and be able to worship you like we should. And Lord, you know we're stuck in this flesh, and you pity us, and you know our frame, that it's just dust, and you know we fail and fall just countless times, and you understand the difficulty, because you came down and you became a man as yourself, and you know what it's like, and no other God can say that, and did what you did to become a man and to go through suffering and pain, and to go through this world and to go through trials and temptations. And Lord, we're glad that you understand those things, and that you're really great. You are gentle with us, and you are patient and kind, and Father, just ever forgiving. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And Lord, we can just praise your name for that and know that one day we're going to be like you. Lord, till that day, I pray you'd help us to keep pressing on to be more like you in just spirit and in truth and just as much as we can. And I pray that this message could be a help and a blessing to my brothers and sisters and anyone else listening. Somebody's lost, they could see there's only satisfaction in Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've read this verse, I don't know how many times, hundreds of times, and it was somewhere down the road, it wasn't yesterday, but somewhere down the road I was reading this verse, and the most dissatisfying thing that I know in this world is not the government, it's not the Pope, or it's not the, you name it, it's not another God, it's not my preacher, it's not my friends, it's not my wife, it's not, you name it. It's not my house, it's not anything I own, it's me. And the most dissatisfying thing in my life is just living with me on a daily basis. And I know most of you understand that. And you see in verse 14, we're going to look at this a little bit more as we go, but the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Being filled with your own ways is what I do not want. You know the verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. Turned everyone to his own way. And that's man's main problem, is just selfishness, own way. Lord, I don't want your way, I want my way. And it says in the rest of the verse, a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Now that verse says shall, a future thing. And I was looking at that can apply to, eternity. After I'm gone and this body is buried or whatever is done away with it and I'm in a new body, I'm satisfied. But I wondered, is there a way that a man could be satisfied from himself? I cause more of my own pain and misery than my wife, kids, and family, and friends, and church, and the world all put together. Just me, I'm the problem. And most of you would agree with that. You understand this from reading the Bible, what God says about man, and nothing's more discouraging than being stuck with yourself. If you're any time spent in the Bible, that's just the worst thing. Just being stuck with you. And you can't get away from yourself. Some people try and do desperate measures, and still you're going to find yourself with yourself. And you're stuck with yourself. And this question here arises, is it possible that I could be satisfied from myself now, right now? And I just did this, a simple little study here. You might see some things you haven't seen, but for the most part, all pretty basic. Can I be satisfied from myself? And I looked at it, and it said, a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So I centered around those things, looking at a good man and being satisfied from myself. And we came up with a few things. So the first one, let's go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. How can you be satisfied from yourself? Now, I say this is number one. This is at the top of importance. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It is, I call it here, scaring. We have satisfaction, and we're going to stay with S's. So we have scaring, and obviously it's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. Says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it, the fear of the Lord, shall abide satisfied. he shall not be visited with evil. And the fear of the Lord is one of my studies in life. It's just, I want wisdom. That's how the Lord got a hold of me, going to a church while I was in the military, and that preacher was going about wisdom. And that's what really got a hold of my heart to really want the Bible, wisdom. And wisdom is the Bible, but there's a beginning to it, and it's the fear of the Lord. And I've tried to figure out wisdom and learn wisdom, and I'm stuck at the beginning. I'm still working at the beginning. It's just one of those things. I'm still studying it, still working on it, still tying it together. The fear of the Lord should be a simple thing in my mind, but boy, is it, I don't know, there's a lot to it in the Bible. And a person who does right will stay away from evil. Right, go to Proverbs chapter 14, just a couple verses. It says, verse 16, Proverbs 14, 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. And a man who departs from evil is not going to be visited with evil. If he's doing right, he's not going to get the consequences of doing wrong. He's not going to be visited with that evil. He's going to save himself from the misery that he can bring upon himself. He's going to be satisfied from himself. And Proverbs verse 27, 14, 27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is something very rich. It is something very full. It's something that's clean. It's something very special to God that a Christian needs to get a hold of. And I've been praying for it for I don't know how many years. Every morning I try and wake up and, Lord, please help me to fear you today. That's my prayer. One of my main prayers is to have that fear and to walk in that fear, and I don't accomplish it every day. This world does not want you to fear the Lord. There's everything about the fear of the Lord is contrary to things around you. And look over at Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to see how this ties in. Come down to verse 29. If you remember our original verse, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. But a good man shall be satisfied from himself. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29, says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is a choice. If you don't want it, you don't have to get it. If you don't want to follow it, don't do it. But I want it. And I want to be satisfied from myself. And that's what the fear of the Lord will do. It will leave a man satisfied. And looking down at verse 30 gives you an idea of what they did not choose. And what they didn't choose is his counsel. It says, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. When the Lord tells you to do something, like when you tell your kids to do something, or you reprove them, don't do that, or you try and counsel them about something, they're either going to choose to follow and fear what you say or not follow and disregard. And that's what they wouldn't choose in this verse, his counsel, his reproof. It's very basic. It's his words. The fear of the Lord comes to what God says. Are you going to fear what he says? And coming down to verse 31, because someone does not fear the Lord, he says, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. When someone doesn't want the fear of the Lord says, okay, try your own way. See how well it works. And you've heard this before, but he says they're going to be filled with their own devices. Now, that's the worst thing possible in my mind. I've heard many preachers say this, and I believe it from reading my Bible, is God just to depart and leave you to yourself. Man is built for self-destruction. And we'll go into that in just a minute here. But look over at Ezekiel chapter 22. If you don't want to fear God's words, God will just fill you with the worst possible thing, yourself. That's the worst possible thing. Just to leave you to yourself. You say, well, I'm a great person, I can do good, and no, actually, you're not so great. And if you know the Bible, you understand those things. Look at Ezekiel 22, if I haven't given you the chapter. Come down to verse 31. Ezekiel 22, 31. And he says, therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. And this is talking about his judgment here. And he says, I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. What is he doing? He says, their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. You know what they want? Their own way. So he says, you know what I'll give them? In my wrath, I'm going to just let them have their way. It's the worst possible thing. Just leave you to yourself. Look at Jeremiah. Come back to Jeremiah a little bit. Jeremiah chapter 2. Man is built for self-destruction. If you put a big plate of food in front of him, you know what he's going to do? He is going to eat until he is sick. That's what he's going to do. He loves to eat. You know what he doesn't know is to when to stop. He just will keep eating because he likes it. He'll just keep eating and eating and eating until some people have died from overeating. Many people have. Over-drinking, you think of things that they do. Man just doesn't know when to quit. His just flesh, his lusts, his things is just going to kill him and drive him to an early grave. You look at a lot of medical reasons why people are dying. It's because of self. They're killing themselves. They're filled with their own way. Their own devices are killing them. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19 says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. That's a terrifying verse. You start thinking about God, he says, you know what? I'm just going to let your own wickedness corrupt you. And people's minds, you look at people's minds and how corrupt those things are. They're just filled with self. They're just filled with everything they can think about. Just me and all the things that I want. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 6. Just killing themselves. Jeremiah chapter 6. Think of man, you know what he likes to do? He'll just sit down and plop down, and he's just as lazy as he can be. If he doesn't have to work, he's just going to be lazy. And this body is not built to be lazy. It's going to destroy if you're lazy. And you sit yourself in front of a TV. Why? To fry your brain cells. Just destroy your brain. Just kill that thing. Kill all spirituality. That's man. That's what he likes. That's what I like. That's what man likes. Man kills himself with ambition. Man kills himself with all kinds of things in his own life, his own way. Look at Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 19 again. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. What is that evil? Even the fruit of their thoughts. There are thoughts. You better fear the Lord. Or God is just going to say, you know what? I'm going to let your thoughts destroy you. And He will. He'll leave you in just misery with yourself. I don't like myself. I've been stuck with myself for 36 years, and thank God with a Bible and a good preacher and church to be around, and good parents even raising me and trying to help me with the Bible, I've had a good start. I've been blessed. But boy, without the Bible and all, you're just left to destruction. You say, how do you know? I don't know as much as what I've heard other people say. I've heard a lot of people tell about their terrible thoughts and terrible just past, just what, how they destroyed themselves. Look at it, he says, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. They don't choose it. Look at Jeremiah 32. I want to show you one more thing about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Scaring. So how do you satisfy yourself, or satisfy yourself from yourself? Kind of a play on words there. By scaring yourself. Say, how? With the Word of God. And it'll keep you in the right place. Look at Jeremiah 32, verse 40. Great verse here, a millennial context about restoring Israel. But look at what's in here. It says, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. That's the nation of Israel. That I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts. That's what I want, this fear. Why? That they shall not depart from me. Whew. Isn't that the worst thing you think of? Just getting away from God. You know what the fear of the Lord does? It doesn't make you go, run away! The fear of the Lord keeps you close to God. Keeps you right up next to Him. It's not the fear that people tend to think about. This fear of the Lord drives you close to Him. It's a very clean thing. It's not like most people think of fear as go watching a horror movie, just getting scared to death and you can't walk around any corners. No, there's strong confidence in this fear. There's many great things about this. The problem is how to get more of the fear of the Lord. And that's just going to take diligence reading your Bible, because it comes from this book. Just reading it and believing it. And I also mentioned, beg God for it, right? Pray for wisdom. Anyone ask the lack of God? The fear of the Lord keeps your flesh from doing what it wants. It destroys everything, your flesh. And the fear of the Lord will put a check on it. Now let's move along. Let's go to look at this good man some more here. The good man shall be satisfied, Matthew chapter 12. Good man shall be satisfied from himself. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Good question. How can a very evil person speak good things? He can't. And verse 35 says, a good man. That's what we're looking for. I want to be satisfied from myself. What does a good man do to be satisfied from himself? He seals. He watches his mouth. He guards his lips. Look at verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. A good verse to remember, everything that comes out of your mouth is going to be either justified or condemning you. It's either going to justify you in the judgment or it's going to condemn you in the judgment. A good man is going to bring good. And he's not going to let that evil come out. You say, are you a good man? Well, there's some good in there. There's a new man. Amen? There's a new man in there who knows how to put out good. That new man, just everything good about him. And there's also an old man who is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and there's nothing good about him. And there's the two in there. And they fight, and a good man is going to keep that old man down. right? And it's hard to keep a good man down, but the flesh is good at keeping a good man down. He is. He's been working at it for years, and don't let the evil come out. You know, James talks a lot about that. How can a fountain bring forth salt and good fresh water? How can a vine bring out figs and olives? You know, how does this work? And yet our mouths speak both evil and good. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're only supposed to speak the good. So come back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 17. This is one of my life verses. I fail constantly, but just always good to remember to shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. And how do you satisfy from yourself? I mean, a lot of my problems is from opening my big fat. That's it. We could say a lot of things. And how often do you hate yourself for what you said? And why did I say that? Why did I say that to my spouse? Why did I say that to my kids? Why did I say that to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? Oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. But now you get to eat the fruit of it. And it comes out. And it's miserable living with yourself. Shut your lips. Look at Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. It's hard to say more about that verse than what God just said right there. It's good. Just right there as it stands, no commentary necessary. You understand that clear and plain. That's one of my life verses. They say women like to run their mouths a lot, and they do. But I know I do too. And, they go one or the other. Boy, everybody has a problem with it. Shut your mouth. It'll help you out in life. Proverbs chapter 18, look at verse number 20. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. What comes out is what you're going to eat. You're going to live off that. That thing is going to come back, and it's either going to terrorize you or it's going to strengthen you and help you. It's going to come back to the same person. Look at verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's a powerful weapon. It's a powerful tool. James 3 says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Wow. That's in me? That's in me. That's in you. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. Just unsatisfying. You know what you do? Seal it. Defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. They say good advice is say the right thing at the right time and shut your mouth most of the time. That's the way to go. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 14. Says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. He can also have evil by the fruit of his mouth, but let a man be satisfied when he has good. When he has good. And it says, the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. I won't add that much in right now, but don't be lazy. Work. Keeps you out of trouble. That's all I'll say on that at that moment. Now come to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, we'll keep moving along here. Psalm 37 and verse 23. You might know where we're going. The steps of a good man. There's that good man again. His steps are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way.
Though he fall,
he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, delight yourself in God's way, right? He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. This is submitting. Submitting. Submitting to God's orders, his plan. This is humility. This connects directly with the fear of the Lord. Just a lot of these things all do. They're all interrelated. But take orders from him. Don't follow yourself. You got so many things in your life. Give you an example. One time out in the Philippines, you know, I'm spiritual, right? You know, I got to do all these things and blah, 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 you know, spirituality, blah. Well, anyway, pretending to be spiritual, I got up the morning and I noticed across the street some guys, a bunch of guys, were starting a new construction. Well, I've, you know, been wanting to witness to these guys even more, get the chance to deal with them more. This was right after we moved from Bontoc and Samoki and went to Bontoc, and I wanted to get over there and just work with them, get to know them a little bit. And I was setting out to go out and quickly got dressed and saw them out the window. They like to wake up at 4. And so, you know, I was getting out there and trying to reach where they are. And the Lord said, you haven't read your Bible yet. I said, oh, Lord, but this is important. You know, this is a good motive here. This is a good, you know, I want to go talk to these guys and work with these guys and show them that I can work too, so that I can, you know, let them know that I'm just like them and that I can give them the gospel. And the Lord said, oh, you haven't read your Bible yet. And he made it very clear and plain. And guess who won? Well, the Lord in the end, but we'll get to that in the end. But I decided, you know, Lord, I think I'm right this time. I need to go. I need to go do this. So I went out and, hey, guys, and, you know, talking to him, trying to talk to him in Ilocano a little bit. And, hey, can I help? And, okay, sure, sure. And what they were doing, I'm just as dumb as can be to think of this, but what they were doing, they had this big metal rod that was probably about 6 feet long and about an inch and a half in diameter. Now, if you get a piece of steel, an inch and a half in diameter and 6 feet long, I should have probably gone and looked at how much that would weigh, but it was a pretty heavy instrument. At the end, they had it pointed and sharp, and what they were doing is breaking up the rock of the mountain to be able to lay a flat spot to start building their house. They pick up this thing and they drop it down and chip away the rock, pick it up and drop it down. And I said, hey, can I give it a try? Now, if you look at me, I mean, I'm not going to pull up my sleeves. I don't want you to see the sticks, you know, or the chicken legs or anything like that. I'm not a big guy. And so here I am, and they're like, okay, you know. They're like, no, you don't need to help, you know, it's okay. And I was like, no, I want to help. I want to get, you know, something to do. You know, I'm going crazy just studying my Bible, you know. I get out there. I said, okay, give it a try. So I got up there, and I picked that thing, man, and it was like, wow, this thing's heavy. But here we go. I got it up in the air, and I dropped that thing down. That thing came down, and I felt something on my face, and it's like, oh, I was like, but I was so psyched about this whole thing, I just didn't even notice. But that thing hit the ground, and it came back and hit me right along the eye. Now, as you can tell, this steel is not very forgiving. It's never been forgiving. Wood is a lot more forgiving than steel. And I've worked with both. But steel, just there's no bendable pliability to it. And that bar came up, and thankfully the Lord is very gracious and merciful. But all of a sudden I was ready to lift the bar again, and everybody was, Matam, Matam, your eye, your eye. And I was like, what? It's okay, no problem. And I felt that it hit me a little bit, and I was aware of that, but it was like, it's no big deal. And all of a sudden, I just started seeing drip, 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 and it started going pretty fast. And I was like, oh, and just blood started coming out all over. And I started, okay, I'll go with a, clean this up, I'll be right back. And I run off, and I didn't come back. I had a big, huge, I still have a nice scar from it. The Lord said, you going to follow orders yet, or are you going to do things your way? God has a still, small voice. You have to listen to it. And you don't listen to it, you're going to make a lot of mistakes in life. Submit. Now I'm going to go to the next point, sharing. Look at Psalm 112. This is my favorite, sharing. Sharing. I'm going to say this many times because brother Steve's here and he loves that word. I think that's his favorite word. I've heard him use it many, many times. So I just couldn't find an S for this one. But Psalm 112, verse number 5. Verse number 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Verse 7 even ties in, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. This man here, the good man, is not going to be afraid. He's going to be trusting in the Lord, but he's someone who gives. Someone who gives. He's lending. He's showing favor to people. He's helping them out. And we could say quite a few things about that, but I'm going to tie or cut some things out. But your time is tremendously important. Money can be important as well, but you remember, you ever get that feeling as like, oh man, I want to give, but I don't want to give? And there's something that doesn't want to give. What is that? That's your flesh, right? You know how to be satisfied from yourself? To be a giving person. Someone who's not stingy. Someone who's going to trust the Lord and he's going to do what he can do. And he's, you know, giving's not a commandment in the Bible or in the New Testament from what I see. It's not necessity. It's not something you have to do. But boy, is it a blessing. I mean, it's going to help so many. It's going to do things that you can't even possibly imagine. But giving is not something just like, oh, give or you're going to get shot. No. If you don't want to give, God doesn't want a grudging giver. God doesn't want those things. You know what giving does? If people say, well, I'm giving my money to the Lord. I've never given any money to the Lord. You say, who do you give it to? Well, I give it to the church. I give it to my pastor. I give it to other people. I've tried to give it to the Lord, but he never takes it. You ever notice that? And that's what Second Corinthians 9 is talking about. It's going to the saints. It's going to the brethren. It's helping others, right? And it's being a blessing to others, and that giving is glorifying, bringing glory to God. God says, I love that because of your selfless care. You're not caring about, oh, I want all the money for myself. That's the fleshly thing. And giving. You know what the Lord gave? He gave it all. Right? And that's what the Lord, that'd be the best thing to give. You know, people spend a lot of money to save time. I'd say time is a lot more valuable than money. Because people will put a lot more money down for time. To just save a little bit of time, people will spend a lot of money to save a little bit of time. Why? Their time is important to them. And time is important. So, that's another thing. That's all I'm going to do because I hate talking about money. Suffering. Isaiah 53. Almost done here. Isaiah chapter 53. It's a blessing to be able to help others out, though. It really is. It is. I mean, it's a grace you get to partake of that God rewards that you can't even imagine. I mean, even now he does it, but it's good. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. And this he here is God, a great chapter, says, he shall see of the travail of his soul, talking about looking at the travail of the soul of Jesus Christ as a man. And he says, and shall be satisfied. Satisfied. You know, something that's the flesh doesn't like? Suffering. You've already heard it this week. You've heard several of these things already this week. And there's definitely a theme of some sort coming through. But that suffering brings a spiritual satisfaction. Right? Obviously, your flesh doesn't like suffering. But that flesh just flat out hates it. It's one of its worst things is suffering. Don't put a knife in your arm or, you know, slash it and, you know, hammer on the finger. The flesh just doesn't like any kind of pain. But suffering goes much farther than that. Suffering, we'll look at this a little bit more. But suffering goes inside as well. Suffering goes turmoil inside, in the mind, in the heart, and heartbreak, which we'll look at even more. But when you go through these trials and keep your eyes on the Lord as you go through it with joy, or try the best you can to have joy, the flesh becomes very small and the Lord becomes very real. Now, the Lord, this is the one I've only tasted. I've not suffered like Jesus Christ. I've not suffered like a lot of people have. In fact, I have it pretty good. The Lord's given me really good health. I've never been in a hospital. I mean, that is a tremendous blessing. And I don't know very many people who can say I've never been in a hospital. I'm 36 years old. That's a great thing. But suffering is very real to God. He knows what it's like. It's something that brought him much satisfaction. And when you go through suffering, he knows what it's like because he's gone through it. Suffering makes this kinship with the Lord. The little bit of suffering that I have gone through, I have seen that build and strengthen and tie my relationship with understanding the Lord. Right? He says that I may know him. How? Through suffering. Right? That's in the verse. It's probably maybe the hardest one for the flesh, maybe not the most important, but it is very effective. The flesh hates suffering. And when you go through suffering, many times the Lord brings it on a person to help get him out of the flesh. Get his eyes on the Lord and get him out of himself and get just me and my and pride. But it's very effective getting satisfaction from yourself and satisfaction in the Lord. Now, if you look at some ways to suffer, just real quick, go through some things. I've thought about things and gone through a few things. But I think a lot of suffering comes from just living right, trying to do right, and family not liking it, people turning on you, relationships being broken and severed in those ways, co-workers just, you know, I'm not going to part with you. You live kind of more of an alone life. A lot of loneliness comes for people. That's suffering. Loneliness, Jesus Christ faced it on the cross. He knows what loneliness is like. Loneliness is not a fun thing to go through. Living right and doing right, you may have people in your immediate family despise you and look down on you for the things that you do and the way that you live. If you get out and witness, you're going to find a lot of people look down on you. Man, that guy is a fool. That guy is retarded. Something's not right with him. He is not in with the world. And you will be ridiculed and mocked, whether it be with just or, you know, whatever it is, just little things that make you go, oh, I don't like that. You know, say, is that small? Yeah, it's light affliction, right? It's light affliction, but it's suffering. And the flesh gets smaller through suffering. You think of all the bearing shame. Bearing shame. You know what Jesus Christ did? He came and he ministered to people. And he bore their reproach. He bore their infirmities. How did he do that? I know he healed them in those particular ways, but you know what he did? He spent time with people. And I've done this quite a bit, just going through as a missionary now on the foreign field and even here in America some, just sitting down and talking with people. And those people pour out their hearts and their burdens to you. They pour out what they're going through and just the trials that they're facing or the losses that they've had in life. And you know what it does? It just puts this burden on you. Puts this weight on you. And you know what you do? You start bearing each other's burdens that way. And it's just something that puts you under this grief and you get off on your own and you're just weighed down by it. It's something that puts this pressure on you and just this, Lord, help, what's going on? Please intercede for this person. It's just a little bit of a suffering. Jesus Christ, He came to be minister to, not be ministered unto. Bearing others' burdens, ministering to heavy hearts. People deal with personal infirmities. Those are suffering, whether they be physical, mental, spiritual things that they face. Taking wrong. People don't like to do that. They avoid that one a lot. But taking wrong is a great way to suffer. Great way to take the place like Jesus Christ did. I don't deserve this. Hey, I'm right in it. But hey, somebody's got to be wrong. I'll be wrong. Only by pride cometh contention. You know what I'll do? I'll just back down. I know I'm not wrong, but hey, you know what? I'll just take wrong in this case just to make things go smooth here in this matter. Not if you have to take a stand for righteousness, but in a lot of cases, you can take wrong. You can suffer in that way. Devil will bring attacks. He'll bring confusion. He'll bring temptations in your life. There's perils that you go through, weaknesses that you face, and even fiery trials that you go through. You say, oh, I'm not a martyr. Yeah, I know. I know. But you'll go through plenty of suffering. You bear reproach for Jesus Christ. That is all the suffering you need to do. You know, I think about that, and I think that's going to be one of the scariest things at the judgment seat of Christ. Men would rather get punched in the face than laughed at and ridiculed. To be ridiculed and laughed at and made ashamed, that's the worst thing a man can possibly think of. He will go out of his way to not be out of the clique, out of the group. And the Lord says, will you come out of the camp bearing reproach, suffering for me? This world is just as wicked, even though they don't know, but just speak up for Jesus Christ. Be in love with Him, and you'll suffer plenty. You don't need to go to a stake. You don't need to go through all the fires that they went through and tied up in sacks and thrown in the water. You don't need to go through that. Just speak up for Jesus Christ. That'll be enough. Last thing is self-denial. Mark chapter 8, self-denial. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. I don't like myself, and these things help me to put myself farther on down so that the Holy Spirit, that new man, can walk in the Spirit and be able to worship and praise God like I should. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. Now, we won't read all this. We've been through it many times. But he says, when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, I just threw this one in because that's how do you get rid of self? Self-denial. Just the simplest, basic one. Don't give yourself everything it wants. Don't just whatever you want. I mean, do various fastings if you need to. That's one of the worst things I can preach on in the Philippines. Filipinos always just, this is all they say is, we love to eat, we love to eat, we love to eat. I was like, I thought I loved to eat too, but you know, they do. They eat a pre-breakfast, then they eat breakfast, and then they eat a middle between breakfast and a between the lunch, and then they eat after that before merienda, and then they eat, or they take their nap time, then they eat again when they wake up, and then they just eat all the time. Slow it down. Just different fastings you can do. You don't have to stop eating completely. Just different things you can do. Oversleeping, laziness. Don't give your flesh the things that it wants. Spend time with your spouse or kids rather than loafing around on the couch and doing what you want to do. You know, spend time with your family. You have responsibilities. Whatever you have to do, do those things. And try not to spend so much time on self. I like to, sometimes when I'd come home from welding and working, especially after working, I was like, man, I just deserve to be fed and to sit back and do my own thing. And there's my wife just wondering, hey, do I get any time? You know, those things go through. Help your wife around the house. I don't like doing that. But boy, start thinking about others rather than yourself. Right? The Lord, He gave that verse, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities, not to please ourselves, to please others and those types of things. How about spending time with God? Right? Instead of doing what you want to do, read your Bible, pray. Follow His way. Now, these are some things that 'll help you. Some things that 'll get you on the track to being satisfied from yourself. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your words. And I'm glad for a book that just reproves us and corrects us. And Father, I pray that you'd help your saints fear your name. It's holy and marvelous. And Lord, to tremble at your words. Pray you'd help them to just going through these things as just facing in life, be reminded of some of them and just keep putting things into play. And that you continue to bless these preachers, and thank you for just a blitz of preaching and being able to be at least around a church on a screen or coming through and hearing singing and being able to be a part of just worshiping you. And Lord, I pray you would just help us to be less filled with ourselves, more filled with you. Pray these things in Jesus' name.